want to talk for just a few moments of time about a famine for the Word. Now, we're so thankful to God that He's given us this beautiful day. It's a beautiful day outside, and it's beautiful in here. And I think that what makes it so beautiful is God smiling and God blessing the earth and its inhabitants the way that He does. And it's so wonderful that we can sit together here in this wonderful auditorium and open our Bibles and read the Word of God. You know, it always wasn't like that. It wasn't always like that. There were times when you couldn't have your own copy of the Bible. There were times when people wouldn't allow you to have a copy of the Bible. There were times when you couldn't afford a copy of the Bible. But I would have to say that we live in a world and in a society today where if you desire a copy of the Scriptures, then you can have that. At least in a free society, you can have that. Because they're plentiful enough that we can have that, and we're thankful to God for that. And I hope that as we go through the lesson tonight that you'll greatly appreciate that book that you have in your lap or that you have in your hands, because they're not always folks that can have that. I know that Brother Jody was just in Texas and Mexico not long back, and folks down there didn't have access to the Bible like we have, right? So just that close in our world, there are those that don't enjoy this privilege. If you'll follow with me for just a few moments of time, in Amos chapter 8, Amos chapter 8. Now, Amos was a prophet of God. He was a contemporary of Isaiah and some of the other prophets there. But Amos made it plain when he came preaching or teaching the Word of God, prophesying the Word of God. He said, look, the people didn't want to hear what Amos had to say. Amos came talking about God's vengeance that was going to be poured out upon the nations around Israel. But then, you know, that was all well and good, but then Amos begins to talk about God's judgment against Israel. And that kind of didn't set too well with them, and they started questioning where he got his message from, questioning why he's over there. And he said, look, he said, I wasn't a prophet. I wasn't even the son of a prophet. He said, I was just a shepherd and a gatherer of sycamore fruit, but God called me, gave me this message, told me to come over here and preach it. And he said, in other words, to paraphrase, he said, you just sit still and listen to it. And so Amos was one that didn't claim any formal education in preaching or teaching the Word of God, but God appeared to him and said, look, I want you to take this message over there. And this was part of the message that Amos brought. In Amos chapter 8, verse 11, here he says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Now, these people knew what famines were. They had endured famines, and we realize that the children of Israel and the land of Egypt were saved from a famine through Joseph prior to the Exodus. And so this country and this land was familiar with what a famine was, but God said, I'm going to send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and the young men faint for thirst. Here God is prophesying and saying, look, there's coming a time when you're not going to have the Word of God available to you the way you have it today. And it wasn't because God didn't want them to have it. It's because they had rejected it. They had spurned it. And like many folks today, may have a copy of the Bible on the coffee table. Might have it on the wardrobe in the corner. May have it in the console in the van or in the car. But you know, you may as well not have that book if you never open it and read it. So God said there's coming a day when people are going to want to have the words of the Lord, but they're not going to have it. It's going to be a famine, not for bread, not for water, but from hearing the words of the Lord. And so we realize that that came to pass because Israel was conquered and they went into bondage to another nation. And God ceased the prophet from the land for a period of time. And here these people were in a foreign land, away from their own families, away from their own homes, away from their own nation. And they didn't have all of those things, but not only did they not have that, but they didn't have the Word of God either. Well, you know, today there's a famine in the land. It's a famine just like this. The present day famine is a famine for the Word of God too. Because you see, people are drying up because they don't have the Word of God. They don't listen to the Word of God. It's not something that they enjoy and feast on like you would in the harvest. But it wasn't like this where that God took it away from them, or God placed them in a situation where it wasn't available to them. In our nation, it's a self-imposed famine. For you see, people have the Word of God and choose not to eat from it. People have the Word of God and choose not to read from it. People have the Word of God and find comfort in the Word of God being close, but they do not take advantage of it. The present famine for the Word of God was not sent by God. You know, as a matter of fact, God has made the opposite available to us. God in this very nation has made the Word of God, the Bible, very much available to anyone that wants it. But people choose, and I say people by the great majority, choose not to read the Word of God. So this is a famine just like it was in Amos' day. The people didn't have the Word of God, but it wasn't because they didn't have a copy of it. It wasn't because they were in a foreign land imposed in exile. It wasn't because there was no preachers or teachers or ministers of the Word of God. But the famine today is because folks choose not to ingest it. Folks choose not to read it. But it is similar. The reasons why the famine exists today is very similar to why the famine existed in Amos' day. And we're going to look at those. One of the reasons why these folks endured a famine for the Word of God was because that they bathed themselves in material luxury. You know, our nation is represented as the greatest nation upon the earth. It's represented as the richest nation upon the earth. We just laughed and talked about a microwave. I like the microwave too, Mary. One of my favorite appliances is the microwave. But you know, that's a luxury that we enjoy today that we didn't have just a few years ago, and a luxury that's still unheard of in many countries in this world. So we certainly do have, we live in a world and in a society that is full of luxuries, but these folks allowed their luxuries to turn their hearts away from God because of all the wealth that they had and because of all the luxury that they had. They forgot about God. And you'll find that in Amos chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. Amos chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. And you'll notice there that the Bible says, "Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria." Does that sound like folks in the United States, maybe? Folks that are at ease. You know, this morning when we were going to worship service, we passed folks that were gardening. We passed folks that were bringing their automobiles to the race. We passed folks that were loading up from the camp and heading home. We found all kinds of folks doing all kinds of things instead of going and worshiping God. They were enjoying the ease of the land. They were trusting in this great nation in which we live. So were they. They were at ease in Zion. They were trusting in the mountain of Samaria. Look in verse 3. "Ye that put far away the evil day." In other words, in the New King James Version, it says, "Woe to you that put far off the day of doom." These folks didn't want to think about the future or think about what was possible in the future. Didn't want to think about that. In verse 4, "that lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches and eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall." In verse 6, "that drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ointments But they're not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. These folks were getting up each day and they were bathing themselves in the luxury that their nation could afford. These folks had put far off the day of doom. You know, today people never ever think about when they're going to die. People get up each morning and I've seen folks that were well off in their older age, and they're seeing their mothers and their fathers pass away. They're seeing their brothers and their sisters pass away, and they themselves know that they worship not the God of heaven. They never ever think twice about the fact that I'm going to lay there one day, and what's after this life. But we'll bathe ourselves in the luxuries this society offers. We'll lie up on our beds and we'll anoint ourselves with the best cosmetics and the salves and the ointments and the medicines. We'll do all of these things and live the life of ease and never ever think about the Word of God. You know, God had warned the Israelites about that. He told them, look, in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 11, God had told them, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes which I command thee this day. He said, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You know, that's just the way us humans are sometimes. We start prospering and we start getting a little bit more money or a little bit more goodness from the earth. Our house gets a little bigger. Our bank account gets a little bit bigger. And we begin to enjoy the things of this world, and it tends to lead people's hearts away from God. That's what happened to the Israelites here. And you know what ended up? They began to endure a famine for the Word of God. You know, I've had people say, you know, when I was younger, I had no desire to work for the Lord. And I had all the opportunity in the world to do it. But when I'm older, I have the desire, but I can't. Children, let's don't wait till we get to the end of the journey and say, let's start working for the Lord. Let's start working today. And let's don't endure this famine. You know, Jesus had warned about that. In Luke 8 and verse 14, He tells us today, in Luke 8 and verse 14, that which fell among thorns, this is the seed. Didn't Brother Matt talk about the seed in the soils this morning? And I'm sure it was a wonderful lesson. I'm glad that I'm able to get a copy of that and look over it myself. I may not have been here to hear it, but I can hear it as I read that. And here Jesus is saying the seed that fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. One of the reasons why these folks were enduring a famine for the Word of God is because they were at ease in Zion. They were pampering themselves. They were living in the lap of luxury. And they were forgetting about God. You know, I'm so afraid for our nation. I'm afraid that our nation is doing the very same thing when we are pampering ourselves with the advancements and with the achievements of the human mind. We're living in luxury and we're forgetting about God and the great principles upon which our nation was founded. But they were living at ease. Another reason that they were enduring a famine for the Word of God, and the same thing is true today, was moral corruption. You know, it's sad when people can't tell right from wrong, or they choose not to tell right from wrong. Consider how corrupt these people were. Look at Amos chapter 2. Amos chapter 2 verses 6 and 7. Look how corrupt that they had begun. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they sold the righteous for silver and the poor for a pair of shoes. that pant after the dust of the earth on the head of the poor, and turn aside the way of the meek, and a man and his father will go in unto the same maid to profane my holy name. Now, children, I want to tell you something. Those things happen in this nation that we live in today. And those things are glorified in our nation. Those things are not spoken of as being wrong. As a matter of fact, those that will stand in strict alliance with the Word of God sometimes are referred to as a cult. Sometimes referred to many different things. But remember that the Word of God is right. If there's ever a doubt as to what is right and what is wrong, the Word of the Lord is right. And these folks had slipped into moral decay, moral corruption. It's okay to stand up and say, the Word of the Lord prohibits that. I'm governed by a higher law than the laws of the United States of America. I'm governed by a higher standard than that which our nation and our city and our towns put forth. I want to ask you a question. Who can deny that immorality has effect on people today? Who can deny that our children are impacted by the immorality that's prevalent in society? Many instances it prevails within the church. When this happens, people don't want to feed upon the Word of God because the Word of God makes them uncomfortable. If I'm not living the Word of God, it makes me uncomfortable to read what God says and condemns me. But remember this, children, that if I'm not living to the standard that God has set, then God won't have me. The Bible makes it plain that we have to not only have the Word of God, we need to read the Word of God, we need to study the Word of God, and we need to allow the Word of God to impact our lives. Only then would it change. It's like the salt that's placed within the dough that affects the entire measure. It's like the leaven that is placed within the dough that affects the entire measure. Only when the Word of God is placed within us can it affect us. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12, the Bible says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the body and the center of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That word discern means to judge. The Word of God judges us when we read it. You know what? I've never ever read the Word of God to where that I didn't turn out on the other side a better person for it. The Word of God will make you better. The Word of God will make you stronger. The Word of God will give you the tools that you need in order to succeed in this life. And these folks were enduring a famine for the Word of God because they chose luxury over God, because they chose moral decay over the Word of God, and so are we today, and also because they were religiously corrupt. Religiously corrupt. Look at Amos chapter 8, verse 4 beginning. Amos chapter 8, verse 4 beginning. Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail, saying, when will the new moon be gone? You know what they were saying? The new moon signaled to them when a feast day was, and when they were to come before God and worship God. So they were saying, when's the new moon going to be gone that we may sell corn? And the Sabbath, when's it going to be gone that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small, the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of shoes, yea, and sell the refuse of the wheat? The Lord has sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. You know what these people were saying? They were saying, when is this religious festival going to end? When is the Sabbath day going to go away? Well, you know what people do today? People say, when's the service going to be over? When's the preacher going to hush? I was preaching in a congregation one time, and I threatened to take the clock off the wall, because folks were spending more time looking at the clock than they were looking at me and listening to the Word of God. These people became morally corrupt. They were saying, we wish that this feast day was gone. We wish that the Sabbath was over. Why? So that we can get about our lives. So we can work and make a living. So we can take advantage of the poor folks. So we can increase our goods. Children, listen, the most important thing in this world that we could possibly do, we're doing right now. It's more important than my job and yours. It's more important than the home that we left behind. It's more important than the automobiles that we've got parked out in the parking lot. It's more important than anything in this world. These people were enduring a famine for the Word of God because they had chosen to be more religiously corrupt. People were fainting for thirst. Others were falling down and not rising again. Describes a lot of our Christian folk today. Now, I've had people say, you go and talk to them. Well, I'm going to come to church when I think I can hold out. Children, that's the wrong attitude. We need to allow God to work with us. If I thought I could do it on my own, I could do it without the Lord. But see, we can't. And that's why God sent Jesus to die for us, because I can't do that by myself. And if I could hold out by myself, I wouldn't need Him. So you see, that day's never going to come. Don't think you can do it yourself. If you could, we wouldn't need the Lord. And see, we can't do it by ourselves. That's why God gave us the Lord. That's why He gave us the Bible. That's why He gave us the church. You see, I need you. But these folks were morally corrupt. You know, there's two things necessary in order to resist the temptations and trials of this world. Two things that are necessary. One is faith in God, and the other is a fear of God. And I've told you many times, standing right here, that when I was a child growing up, there was love in our family. We loved each other. But don't make any mistake about it, I was afraid to disobey my parents. Didn't mean I didn't love them. Didn't mean they didn't love me. Didn't mean I couldn't count on them. They were always there. Not one of them ran off and left us. But I was afraid to disobey. Our family was faithful to each other, but there was a fear of the parents and disobedience to the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation taken you but such is common to man. But God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. And also a fear of God in Proverbs 16 and verse 6, by mercy and truth is iniquity purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. You see, if we're not afraid of some harm coming to us, then we'll continue to do the same thing over and over and over again. What changes behavior? What changes behavior is a repetition of that which is different, or that which is good. What causes us to change our behavior? Generally, it's a fear of bad things happening to us. What is the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result. You see, if you want something different in your life, you've got to change what you're doing. And we need to have a respect for the Word of God. A respect for the Word of God. Ending the famine. Ending the famine. These people were enduring a famine for the Word of God. How many times do you think they were over there in that foreign land without a copy of the Scriptures, without a prophet, without anybody to help them? How many times do you think they would like to call for the preacher? That's the way folks are today many times. Get in trouble, we'd like to have the preacher come and talk to us. But see, the preacher wasn't available. And the Scriptures wasn't available. Because that they had chosen not to participate in the Word of God. Children, let me tell you something. There's going to come a day in our lives, maybe when we leave this world, If we don't respect the Word of God and we don't embrace the Word of God, we don't read the Word of God, there'll be a time we would like to do that and we won't be able to. And that would be a famine for the Word of God. We have to appreciate the power of God's Word. You know, there's no greater power in this world today than God's Word. No greater power than the Word of God. Do you know that God's Word can create the heavens and the earth? Do you realize that God's Word can form a human being? Do we realize that God's Word can cause the fire not to hurt or the lion to be tame? Do we realize the Word of God can cause fishermen, normal, everyday parents, everyday men, and everyday women to forget the world that they once knew and follow God? Do we realize the Word of God has the power to raise us up from the grave? We have to respect the Word of God, but then we have to feed on it. In 1 Peter 2:2, Peter says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow." We used to have fun with our kids, all three of them. You take that little baby and you hold it up to your arms. It doesn't know mommy from daddy. And you could peck on its mouth and it'd try to eat your finger, won't it? You know what it's wanting? It's desiring the milk. It's wanting to eat. It's wanting to grow. It's wanting to bond. I think that's a word that we use today. It's unnatural for children not want to do that. And as Christians, we should have that desire to do that. You know, a reasonable goal, and I'm going to set this forward. Wouldn't you think that a reasonable goal would be to read one chapter of God's Word a day? Would that be unreasonable? Would it be unreasonable to think that we could read? Do you know that by reading one chapter a day, you could easily read the New Testament through in a year? You know, there are many, many Christians that have been members of God's family for years that have never read the Bible through. We could make that a goal. And you know that once we've established the habit of reading the Word of God, that it becomes easier and easier to read more and more and more. Psalms 1:1-3, the writer says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. He should be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." You know what? I've never ever read the Word of God where I didn't prosper. The Word of God is very important. There was a famine for the Word of God to the children of Israel because of the choices that they made every single day with respect to God and His Word. And you know, today it's the same thing. There's a famine for the Word of God in the lives of men and women, of boys and girls everywhere because of the choices that we make every day with regard or respect to the Word of God. Children, don't be deceived. The Bible says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, having the Word of God under our arm doesn't make us a preacher. Having the Word of God on the coffee table doesn't make us a Christian. But when we read and we study and we apply that Word, it changes you, brothers and sisters. It makes you different than what you were. It makes you a child of God. And it makes you fit for the upper and better kingdom. Jesus said, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of heaven." Let's keep our hand on the plow. Let's keep our face forward. And let's keep our mind upon the Word of God. And there won't be a famine. And we can enjoy the Word of God forever and ever in eternity. If there are any in the audience tonight that's not a child of God, the Word of God is powerful enough to make you a child of God. And the Word of God tells us that we have to repent and be baptized in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. If you've done that, then you know what I'm talking about. If you've not been faithful to the Word of God, it tells us to repent and pray if perhaps the thoughts of our hearts may be forgiven us. We have the time and the opportunity to do that as together we stand and as we sing.